Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Good morning, video games. Welcome once again to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me, as always...
Hello, Tommy Dasilo. My name is Ben Vanell. I'm going to do the entire episode talking really fast. And joining us on the couch over there is...
Correct response.
I've left you speechless with both of my past two introductions to the podcast.
Well, I was just trying to think of a third for the series of things I want to do. the Dam Busters, the Unabomber, the Blue Bomber. Is Mega Man, not Sonic.
Yeah.
Never mind.
The Blue Blur.
The Blue Blur. Sonic. Okay, Blur. Okay, Damon Albarn.
Yes.
Yep.
Claude Monet.
Yep.
Sure.
Yep.
Sonic the Hedgehog. The three most important artists in the world of Blur.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Work.
Nice.
My name's Adam.
Yeah, speaking of Blur, it's Adam Knox.
We are fresh from the local multiplex. Yes. It's a Saturday evening.
Mm-hmm.
We headed on down in the BV-mobile.
Yep.
We listened to a bit of the new Tame Impala album on the way.
We took ourselves to a private screening.
Yes.
We're aware that some people who listen to the podcast went to a screening and we're sorry we weren't there.
Yes, but we had to come. We went to a cinema near my house. We came straight back here to do the pod.
I wanted to go to a cinema where I was guaranteed I would be sitting next to a child. I wanted them to definitely shit themselves. What's the equivalent of audibly but for smell? Or like visibly but for smell? Olfactorily?
Yeah. Smellily.
Anyway, I mean, the kids shit themselves halfway through this movie.
Yeah.
But we're straight fresh off the hot from the presses.
Yes.
By the way, so we talked on last week's episode about how at the time that we booked our tickets, we were looking at being the only ones in the cinema.
Yes, that's right. We did predictions.
Yeah.
And that the cinema looked really small.
Yes. Yeah.
Wrong on both counts.
Yeah.
Big cinema, pretty full.
Mm. Quite packed.
Pretty full. I predicted there'd be seven people.
Yeah.
I think I said an awkward two.
You did. I said a dozen. It was like, I don't know, half full, two-thirds full.
More than that, I reckon. Yeah. It was like, it was about three quarters.
Wow, okay.
Well, Ben, you win. You were the closest.
Cool, what do I win?
You get to describe the entire movie while me and Tommy just do the fun reacting
parts. Oh, okay, great. I am the one with the best memory of the group.
I don't know if that's true. Can't think of an example of when I've had a better memory, but I'm sure there is one.
We're drinking Pabst Blue Ribbon in honor of Sonic as well.
Damn.
Nice.
That is
I'm
not
gonna
the
fucking
reason, but...
roll mine across the floor when I'm finished.
So we headed down there. What more is there to say about our thoughts on the way in?
We went to a cinema near Ben's house where they had a very peculiar system where the popcorn and all of that stuff you didn't go to like a candy bar.
No vendor.
Just on shelves, and then you were trusted to take it up to someone and pay for it.
Yeah, I think I've mentioned on a previous episode, Detective Pikachu, that one time I went at like sort of a 9 p.m. screening. I'd bought tickets online, picked up some M&Ms, and there was no one at any of the counters, so I just walked in and stole M&Ms.
I paid $16 for popcorn and a water, and I could have... If you gave me 20 minutes, I could walk out of there with $650,000 worth.
Yeah.
Not only that, but our tickets not checked at any point.
Yes!
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah,
I guess, but like someone else would have been in the seats, but we had a quarter of the cinema still.
Yeah,
only three quarters.
We could have
full.
Hidden anywhere.
Yeah.
So we saw the film, and then as soon as the film finished, we all said, "All right, well, let's just save all our thoughts for getting on mic."
Yeah.
And so we've then had a very weird, awkward, silent walking out of the cinema and sitting in the car.
Yeah.
Adam was just asking you about your job just to fill the silence.
Yep. Yeah.
It felt like we'd had a fight immediately before the movie.
Yeah.
Stewed on it for the whole movie. And then neither of us wanted to be the one to kick it back off again.
But we were all like visibly in good moods. Like we were all walked out silently, like smiling at each other.
So, okay. So do we want to, I think the plan is to go through the entire plot of Sonic the Hedgehog, the movie.
Yeah. So, look, if you didn't see it or haven't seen it yet, put this one on ice. This is full spoilers, not just spoilers, an intricate breakdown of the entire film.
I think we're going to do a detailed and thorough examination of one of the preeminent works of 11 to 12 year old films. Mm-hmm. Not as in it just came out, but I mean, that's who it's for.
Yeah.
Look, I'm driving to the airport in 3.5 hours to pick someone up, and I'm worried I might miss them.
Yeah. Yep.
There's so much to say about this film.
There really is.
Do you want to do overall thoughts first before spoilers and then go into spoilers?
Sure, yeah. We should give a general recommendation or not.
Is this piracy?
No.
We just described the whole movie. Is that piracy?
No.
People thought watching
you downloaded like a cam version of a movie. Yeah. It was just on like footage of someone's face going, okay, so in 1917, it starts off with two guys sitting against a tree. And their boss comes up and he says, hey, boys, get up. But he's got a British accent. And then they get up and just do that for the entire thing.
Right.
I'm going to start putting them up online.
Do it.
On the Pirate Bay.
Cam version of... That's a funny YouTube series.
Yeah.
Adam's cam versions.
HD cam dot whatever. Yeah. If anyone fucking steals this, because I know I'm not going to get around to it for like 2 months, then fuck you.
Yeah.
This is almost...
Stealing art is bad.
This is bordering on regular segment of the show, Adam's paranoia that someone's going to rip off an idea that he just said.
Yes, that's true.
Even he won't fully commit to, so why would somebody else?
Yeah. All right. Overall impressions. Do you want to kick us off, Adam?
No, you go.
Fine. Not good. But, you know, it was... Yeah, I don't know. It wasn't, like, offensively bad. Mm. It wasn't, like... It wasn't over the top. There's plenty to... There's stuff to say about it, but it wasn't over the top bad enough that I was thinking, like, oh, this is going to be so fun to
rip apart.
To rip apart, yeah. It's kind of halfway through where I was like... Ooh, okay. If we get to the end of this and the fellas are like, hey, maybe let's just do this later in the week and not make it the full episode. I don't know that I could have argued that.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe we'll end up doing that halfway through this. Who knows?
I had a pretty fine time with it. I think if I was a kid, I would have loved it. I think as a movie, as a kid's movie, in terms of its construction, its writing, it was good. I would actually say it was good. I'm a 32-year-old man, and so it wasn't in my hitting zone, but, like, yeah, I find it hard to fault. It's a little, you know, some lame jokes and shit, but if you're a parent, and I know that there are parents listening, I'd highly recommend taking your kid to this.
I completely agree with that.
Yeah.
I think that the structure of it, it was a well, other than maybe one or two bits that were like, oh, nah.
Mm.
But... As an overall movie, it had a complete story. There was character development. It was a properly made kids movie with one or two large glaring flaws. One very big flaw. Let's call it a big over-the-top kind of flaw.
Really?
I fucking hated Jim Carrey.
No!
Really?
Because, and he flipped wildly between doing... Him acting as an evil villain who was like a bit wacky, which was fine, and then sank for some reason into stand-up bits from 1986, Jim Carrey.
So overall, completely agree with you on the film. Jim Carrey was my favorite part of it by far.
Him twirling around and doing shit that was completely Jim Carrey, but absolutely not. The character he was inhabiting, Dr. Robotnik.
The Eggman himself.
It really bothered me for some reason.
Wow.
Because it seemed like he was really rusty or something. There was just something a little bit not tuned up about the way that he was doing everything in this movie that fully bothered me.
You know what's interesting? You know what I think that about? Ben Schwartz.
Yeah.
Hated his performance.
Completely on
the same
page. I
found he made
there.
Sonic so unlikable.
Yep.
And anytime there was like a... Like, we'll go through the plot in a sec, but there are moments where, you know, they're trying to make you feel a bit sad for Sonic. They're trying to get a bit of emotion. And for the most part, that kind of worked on me. I was like, yeah, he's lonely. That's sad.
Right.
But then he would have a little quip off the back of it. And it was like, I hate this little cunt.
And Ben Schwartz doing the opposite of Jim Carrey, where he was putting in no effort of any kind. Just a complete blank slate, default, nothing.
Yeah, just his own normal voice. The voice that he uses in the live action stuff.
And I thought Jim Carrey was good when he was being Robotnik, but there were just weird parts where he was suddenly like 80s Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I understand that.
The bit where he was like skiing and shit.
Yeah, I understand that if you were like describing how like acting technique should work, but not when it's Jim Carrey. I want to see 80s Jim Carrey.
But then he shouldn't have done any of the Robotnik shit. He should have just been full Jim Carrey the whole time.
If he had committed to full Jim Carrey.
It was the gear changes that bother me. Either thing on its own is fine. I like pizza. I like... I should have picked something other than pizza.
I can't think of anything else he likes.
Yeah, I've already peaked pizza. With pizza.
I like dogs. Yeah. And I like cooking. I don't want to combine the two in any way.
You don't want to cook a dog.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Or I don't want a dog to cook for me.
I don't know about that.
Either way, it's going to end poorly. I mean, the dog's probably going to end up cooked either way. He doesn't know what a fucking...
True.
Yeah, but yeah. Burp paws at least. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
No, I do know what you mean, but I kind of...
I know what you mean, but I disagree with it.
I was hanging for a bit of Jim Carrey, sure. Just like, yeah. Just doing Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey gets a pass because he's Jim Carrey, but it's been too long. He doesn't get that pass anymore. He needs to re-earn Jim Carrey.
Yeah, but I think because it's been so long since he's done a real Jim Carrey-style comedy, I was like, you know what? This is probably as good as it's going to get for a little while.
Yeah. I'm on the other side. Where he needs to show me Ace Ventura again.
So, what I was thinking near the start of this, where he's being real wacky, and he's this guy who comes in, he's a specialist who's tracking down a little hedgehog.
Yeah,
I was like, you could make the case that this is a de facto third Ace Ventura movie.
Oh,
shit.
Yes.
Not quite a pet detective, but certainly an animal detective.
Yes.
It's like you could watch this through a different lens where he's like, you know, he looks different, but, you know, it's been, whatever, 20 years since
that's, honestly, that's
film.
What I mean.
If he's still acted like Ace Ventura.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the
thing.
If he'd have cranked it up and been like that the whole way through, talking out of his butt and shit, then Muay Caliente.
No disagreement this there. Way, if he had done that the whole time, I would have fucking loved it.
Yeah. Ace Ventura 3, Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yes.
A real missed opportunity. Boy, fuck. I felt good about myself when I clocked that one midway through. I was like, I mean, that's the best takeaway from the film. That's all I really have to offer.
Well, should we go through from the beginning to the end?
Let's try to. Yeah.
Okay, so very beginning of the film, and I may have said this on the pod before, but I like it when a studio trusts the vision of a director so completely that they say, you know what, this brand, this company that we've built for decades and decades, and our image, we are nothing without our image. Mm. The first thing that people see when they sit down at the cinema is this logo that people come to trust and know and expect great things from.
Yeah.
We are happy for you to have absolute carte blanche and fuck around with it however you want.
The honor bestowed upon a director for them to say, we're going to turn around for 30 seconds. And if when we turn back, that Columbia TriStar lady is wearing something a bit weird. We ain't going to change it.
Yeah.
If she's got a Joker smile on, that's going to stay.
I did really used to think that was like the mark of a truly great fit. Like the start of The Matrix where like the Warner Brothers logo is all fucked. I'm like, oh, these guys, the Warner Brothers have just absolutely signed off on this.
Dude, when those Animaniacs kicked their way out of the Warner Brothers logo, I knew that cartoon meant business.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
This was the Paramount Mountain with the rings replacing its stars, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, the little half ring of stars.
Yep.
Little golden Sonic rings.
It was pretty funny as well that like the production company that made this is called Original Film.
Yes.
That is very funny.
Just
on its own, Original Film is hilarious, but then also in the context of Sonic and it's always like the original characters. Mm.
But then something that you pointed out
to
me, Nox, before that, before Original Film, we get a sweet, we get the Sega logo.
Yes.
That's kind of a sort of a slow zoom out. We saw Sonic on the screen, like from the original game.
Yeah.
A slow zoom out, and then all these kind of other little blocks around
you've
it.
You've got
that
Space Harrier.
Yeah.
You've got a whole bunch of Sega games.
All the most familiar games from video games.
Yeah.
It was the Marvel thing.
Yes, it was.
Sega
exactly,
just
yes.
going like,
that was
here
my
we go.
Too. Yeah.
We're going to do fucking Altered Beast, his own solo movie.
Alex Kidd.
Yeah. Jet Set Radio. They're all coming out. That truly.
Fuck, I
Sega
watched a
seemed
Radio
to
movie.
Really be. Positioning themselves for like this is going to be
and
a
then
hit,
kind of a cool like cinematic orchestra version of the Sega.
Yes, so as ridiculous as that collage of games was, the Sega sound still is cool.
Yeah,
and then, oh baby,
so the first scene of the film.
You might be wondering how I got here.
Oh yuck.
Fuck,
yuck.
That's right.
That was yuck.
Hated that so much.
As much as hyped as I was from the rings and the. Okay, logo, that immediately put me off.
Sonic is running away from Dr. Robotnik,
yep.
who is shooting missiles at him and
through a cityscape.
Yeah, running fast, being chased fast, mm-hmm. and it does the record scratch pretty much, freeze frame. Yeah, that's me, essentially.
Mm-hmm. I think the line is something like, you may be wondering why this crazed scientist is shooting at this extremely handsome hedgehog. And I just thought, oh my God.
Well, let's go back and find out. Whippy, 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 whippy.
Did that as well.
Yeah. He does that thing and it literally rewinds through the whole movie.
Yes.
Not good.
No, bad. Bad opening. Didn't like it.
No. And then it's fucking, what's his name? James
Marsden.
Marsden. I never know if he's Masters or Marsden.
He's Marsden.
Because Masters is Spike.
Yes.
Yeah.
And a
guy
person
we
know.
Yeah. A friend.
Does it go to his origins?
Yeah, it goes to Sonic's origins on his home planet or whatever.
I want to get to the fucking speed camera thing.
So we see him.
Baby
Sonic running around his home planet.
Mm-hmm. Pretty cute.
Or home dimension or whatever.
Yeah.
They kind of go back and forth between.
Well, it's the other side of the universe, he says.
Right.
Yeah.
Home
planet looks like Green Hill Zone level, loop de loops and stuff. He references that
because this kind of shot was in the trailer, and I kind of thought, I won't mind if we spend a little bit of time in this environment.
Right,
this could be cool.
Mm-hmm.
But so he has this incredible power. He's running around and he's like, oh, it's. And then there's another. I mean, I'm gonna at some point have to stop pointing out all the lame jokes that are in the film. There's something where he's like, oh, and and I can run to school really fast. Just kidding. There's no school on this planet.
Yeah.
Pretty good, right? Oh, my God.
Do you know, genuinely, I didn't notice him saying that because I got quite excited about the idea that I could have run to school. I didn't hear the bit afterwards.
Adam,
I was like, wow, imagine that.
You could have run to school.
Like, no, it was a little too far away.
Before I forget, to skip ahead after the film, Ben and I went to the bathroom.
We're doing
and
a Sonic the Hedgehog movie trick here.
Yes.
We're starting at the end.
You holding your dick, your piss stops midstream.
You might be wondering why I'm pissing.
No, I wasn't. Everyone does it.
So like I said, Ben drove us to the cinema in his car and we came out of the bathroom and we couldn't see Adam anywhere.
Yep.
And me and Ben got very excited by the idea that Adam had run home because he was
so inspired. You are dressed in blue today, Adam.
I've got blue shoes and I've got like a dark blue shirt. I'm a dark Sonic. I'm an evil Sonic.
Yeah, you're Shadow. Mm. But we were just hoping that you were like standing outside revving your feet up like, I gotta run home.
We get in the car and it's like 5 minutes down the road. We see you sprinting. Adam, get in. No, I'm trying to be like
just
Sonic.
Clutching my chest. Completely
we're sitting
pale.
Here waiting for you for like 45 minutes to start the pod. So then we see Sonic.
He's got he's like an adoptive mother.
So
Owl girl is not from Sonic, right?
No.
I don't think so. Might be from some expanded comic book or whatever. I don't
know. Okay, okay.
That was the first thing where I was just like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
But who's Sonic's mum? Like, they have to come up with someone.
Yeah, true. So but it's just funny that they're like, oh, some big owl.
Not a mum a hedgehog?
Nah, it makes more sense for Sonic to be adopted. Don't know why.
I mean, I don't. I kind of agree. It's an odd choice to pick a owl.
I guess it's an odd choice to pick a hedgehog.
I guess.
Snookered.
It is kind of a funny thing to be like, okay, so he's from the other side of the universe,
mm-hmm.
but he's a creature that we have on our planet,
mm-hmm.
and then there's, it's just kind of this weird, like, what is? I mean, I would have liked to see a bit more of
that world. Mm. Sure. Just like, what is... So what is this planet?
What's his
like,
life
what actually
here?
Is it?
Who is this owl to him?
Yeah.
It's just some kind of authority figure type thing. You don't really get a sense of who...
It's extremely vague tropes. Like, look, like bird's eye view, like, okay, here's like four things from our other movies arranged in this
actually,
order.
Actually, he even says the owl is basically Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Who's telling him like, hey, you've got these powers. Make sure that you hide them or else people will come after you.
Mm-hmm.
And then immediately some Knuckleses come after him.
Yep.
They're shooting arrows at him. It all goes wrong. And the owl says, look, you have to get out of here. The way to do it is I've got this bag of rings. Mm-hmm. If you throw a ring, it opens where a portal to another place that you're thinking of. I'm going to die now. Off you fuck.
Yeah. And that all takes place in like 6 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very fast opening.
Probably less, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Really, really brief.
Yeah.
This movie, not to be too funny about it, but the pace is quite high most times.
I think that's fair for the first third or so. I think it slows down a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. But anyway, Sonic jumps through the ring. He's on Earth now.
Little baby here on Earth. And then he quite quickly grows up.
Yeah, we cut forward. We jump forward 10 years.
Yeah.
Smash cut.
Right. So he was like very young Sonic at the time. So I guess he's about 17 in this at the most.
Yeah.
It seemed like he was even... Yeah, maybe. Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah.
Something like that.
16, 17.
He flosses twice. So he's whatever age that is.
15 maybe, 13 or 15. Apparently,
according
to the Wikipedia summary, 10 years later is the time difference between that.
Yeah.
He's living in Green Hills, Montana.
I don't mind that. I don't mind that at all.
Yeah, I don't mind it. Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of one of those, it kind of irked me a little. It's one of those weird adaptation things where it's like, so that's a thing in Earth, but it's like in the Sonic video games, that's what... Like that planet that we saw him on.
That was Green Hills.
That
Hill
was Green Hills.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That was Green Hills Zone.
Yeah.
This is Green Hills.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right.
They're different locations.
Okay.
But he kind of just like hangs around. He very specifically doesn't show himself to anyone, can't show his powers.
Albi-1 told him not to.
Albi-1, Kenobi said.
There's two opportunities in there.
But yeah, that's his whole thing. He's hiding from everyone. Yeah. But he's like spying on everyone and he's like, he's trying to be like a little secret family member to Sheriff Man.
Clearly a very social hedgehog.
Well, he wants to be.
Exactly. Like naturally, but he's deliberately hiding himself. He's very lonely.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of describes the whole town to the viewer.
Yes.
Says that this policeman, James Marsden, is his favorite one because he's helping people and
he helps animals and stuff. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. He's got a wife who is very attractive.
Mm-hmm.
She's a vet. That might come up later.
She is a vet.
Just remember that the cop's wife is a vet.
Now, did you guys know that she was a vet at the start of the movie? Or did I miss that?
Yeah, he said that she's a vet at some point.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought maybe she was a veteran.
When James Marsden comes home, he's like, when James Marsden come home,
he's
like, fucking...
Thank you for underlining that.
Oi, oi, listen up. All right, you're a bit of crumpet, but also you're a fucking vet, ain't you? What's that like? He says something...
fast.
Because of the raccoons or something, they're going through the bin and he's like, let me get a vet's opinion. What should I do with the raccoons?
Right,
something.
Okay. Yeah,
they
bring it up. Sure.
But which is good structure.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
And they bring up everything that they come back to early in the movie.
A couple notably without a child. They have a dog.
Yep.
And that's it. That's their family unit.
Otherwise, in the town, there's like another cop who's dopey. There's like a crazy guy who thinks that Sonic exists.
You know,
he's the one guy who's seen him.
You know Dopey Cop? Do you know him?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Adam Pally.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's he?
He's a comedian. Comic actor. He was in Happy Endings was the TV show he was in.
Yes.
He's in a couple of movies as well.
He's on some great episodes of the podcast Comedy Bang Bang.
Yes.
Which Ben Schwartz is also on a lot.
Yeah,
so
he is.
So it's funny funny that they're both in this.
Yeah.
Both doing average jobs.
He was on an episode of the podcast Hollywood Handbook and subsequently was referenced repeatedly for being a coke fiend on that show.
Really?
Yeah. So that's always what I think of when I see him in anything.
Gotta go fast.
You gotta go fast.
So he's living in this town. He watches baseball, loves baseball.
Yeah, that stuck out as being weird initially when he's watching that game and it's that one kid with braces in slow-mo just getting carried around. But I guess it's just to emphasize it's people being friends.
Exactly. Team sport, very active, physical. It's all about going fast. Yeah, it makes sense to me that he would love baseball.
Yeah, sure.
And also he's like really adopted the culture here.
Yes.
Because he's got like a little cave that he lives in and there's all...
A little man cave.
A little boy cave.
Don't we all have a little man cave the wife can't come in?
Sonic is more like a little boy, so this is like a little boy's cave you can't come in. That's more what he has. So he has like comic books and shit. He reads The Flash because The Flash goes fast.
Yep.
He's...
Yep.
Tried to figure out some other planets he can go to if shit goes wrong on Earth. Mm. One of them, there's some of them are crossed out. Some of them are options. One crossed out. One is a Sega Saturn logo.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Good for them.
Yeah. I didn't notice that.
Well done. Much as Sega themselves did. They crossed that one out early on.
Now, the fact that the Mushroom Kingdom...
Yeah, right.
Is essentially is the one that he keeps coming up as the potential. That's on purpose, right?
And
surely?
He finds it gross and yucky and doesn't like it. Yeah. And it's the bad one. I thought so too.
Yeah, okay.
It's a planet full of mushrooms.
It's like habitable, but he doesn't want to go there because there's no one else there.
Exactly. There'll be nothing there.
Yeah.
It's a sheet of paper that was, I believe, given to him by, in the bag of rings, like the owl had kind of...
Yeah, he does say that she was like, she told me, you know, mapped these out the these ones. Yeah.
And for some reason, over the mushroom planet, it's like, next one. This would be the next one that you go to.
Mm.
Now, my question, why? Why does it matter what order he goes to these planets in?
I mean, I guess give him a chance to have people around. If that goes wrong, hey, better he's safe. Maybe
right,
yeah.
I can't get inside the head of an owl.
No.
So, yeah, it sets up this whole town and that he's a bit lonely.
Mm-hmm.
He's hanging around but wants to participate, knows he can't. Is pretty good about it.
Mm-hmm.
Is really trying not to.
So he has there's a night where he's playing, after watching the baseball game, he's playing
but
baseball.
But he follows this cop around, I just want to say.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I was going to say, because that's the speed camera scene happens before this.
So
yeah.
The cop sees, he's, you know, filming a turtle, not filming, he's pointing the radar gun at a turtle, the turtle's a bit slow.
Mm-hmm.
He's fucking...
That's an understatement.
Pointing it at Sonic, Sonic's a bit fast.
Yeah.
But you get an idea of this guy being a bored cop.
Bored by his job.
At one point he says, bored,
yeah,
which I liked.
And there's a bit where he's just like sitting in the car and is so bored by just, you know, traffic cop where there's no cars coming past. And to show him, there's a bit of time lapse of just stuff that he's doing to kill time in the car.
Mm.
And one of them is he's just like kind of holding the speed camera gun and just kind of moving it really fast.
Yeah, and he punches himself in the jaw.
Yeah,
oh, yes.
Which I kind of thought was a funny thing of like, well, how do you show that he's bored? And it's like, well, in any other context, you'd go, probably your first thought would be, oh, he could pretend it was an actual gun.
Right.
And be, but you know, it's like a kid's film and things being what they're like, you can't show. It's just so funny to me that like, oh, what could he be doing? I don't know, just pretending that he's following a fast car.
Yeah.
But you see him do that twice and it's like, no other options. Like,
he must be really bored.
He must be really, really bored.
Yeah. To be fair, it didn't occur to me that that could be used as a gun.
Oh,
a proper gun.
But at some point in that scene, he picks up the Sonic's little blue spiny quill, doesn't he?
Yeah. He finds on the road, because he gets out to look for what the fast thing is. Sonic is gone. He's quite cool.
Yeah, Sonic's sort of playing little pranks on him, basically.
And he's like stolen the turtle because it was going to get run off by a car. And he's like running with the turtle and showing it the time of its life and whatever before he goes to the cave. But James Marsden has the quill.
Yep.
He takes it home. Mm. He gets home that night. It's nighttime now.
Yep.
It's night.
Yes.
He goes home at night.
Smash cut to nighttime.
Exterior. Night.
Yes.
James Marsden's house.
Yep.
Ask him for permission to film there. Close brackets. there's some raccoons in the bin. He finds out his wife is a vet. I'm sure he knew, but we find out. And then
honey,
also,
you're a what?
I thought you were a soldier.
Oh, I like this guy.
She has a letter for him. He opens the letter and he's been accepted as a cop.
Yep.
In San Francisco.
Yes.
The big city.
Mm-hmm.
He's moving from a small town cop to a big city cop. It's his dream. Yep. He's very happy about it.
Yep. He wants to prove himself.
Exactly. Because he's got skill. You can tell he's smart.
Yep.
But he's wasted on this small town.
Mm-hmm. Moving from a town that does not exist to one that does exist in
he's
the
gonna
real
go,
world.
He's moving up from Green Hill Zone to Casino Zone.
Yep.
Where it's all going on. Here comes my first major gripe with the film.
Okay.
So the wife pulls out a cake. The cake says, whoops-a-daisy, fuck San Francisco, those cops don't know what they're on about, all cops are dogs.
Yes.
Bit yeah. much for a kid's film.
Yep.
But
they do. They just write ACAB, so the kids don't know what it means.
Yeah. She pulls that cake out, and he's like, oh, and she goes, oh, whoops, wrong cake.
Yes.
The cake, the first cake, the wrong cake she pulled out, is landscape orientation.
Okay.
She opens up the box, and you can clearly see on the cake, it says, fuck San Francisco, those cops are idiots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then she goes, whoops. So she opened the box without looking at it, knowing that the cake would display the writing that she wanted it to display when it was landscape orientation.
I see what you're saying.
Right. Then she pulls out a second cake, the correct cake that she meant to pull out the first time.
Right.
The victory cake.
Yes. Yep.
She opens it up again. And now we see a cake in portrait orientation.
I see what you're saying. Yes. Here.
And this one says, let's all go to San Francisco.
Yeah.
All cops are dogs.
Yes.
Again, I don't think she likes what her husband's profession.
Yeah.
No.
She does keep saying all cops are dogs, and she's a vet, so maybe that's a
maybe
good thing.
Maybe she loves dogs.
Yeah, maybe she loves cops and dogs.
Yeah.
She would have been able to tell the difference.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And she must have known that it was the wrong cake and was doing it as a joke.
Yeah.
Because she pulls it out and opens it in landscape orientation.
Yes.
And then the second cake, just to prove my point, is in portrait orientation.
Yeah. Yeah.
The first major gaffe of this film.
So, have you put this in the goofs section on IMDb already?
Yeah, I'm logging in right now.
Is that what you were doing while we were silently walking back to the car?
Log in as movie corrector 69.
She could have forgotten what the... Because what's... Is it a... The landscape
I'll stop you
cake
there,
has
Tommy.
Like a cityscape?
She could have just forgotten. Full stop.
Yeah.
She could have forgotten.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Maybe she thinks the landscape one... was that says fuck San Francisco is like there's a cop's dead body lying on the ground.
Yeah, yeah, he's on fire, I think.
Yeah, and the portrait one is like just a singular building from San Francisco that says how good's it going to be when we're in San Francisco?
P.S. fuck cops.
I can understand the theory.
Yes.
And it's a theory I've heard many times before on the forums, on the Sonic the Hedgehog forum.
You've heard this theory postulated on the forums.
I've heard it. Landscaped and post. It didn't sound as much like portrait as I thought in my head.
No, it started with a P.
It just started with the letter P.
Yep.
1 in 26 chance. That's what I want to talk about.
Yes.
Chance.
Ah.
What are the chances that she could have accidentally opened the first cake landscape orientation, thinking that it was the portrait orientation cake?
Mm.
What are the chances? Low. Let's move on.
Well, Knox, I'm gonna venture out and suggest that you've never bought one celebratory cake for someone, let alone two in the one day.
Mm.
That's an accusation that you're free to level. However, if you would suggest that I have never bought a cake, then, sir, you have a fight on your hands.
If you were to suggest that Knox has never bought two cakes at once, you would have a fight on your hands.
If you were to suggest that I couldn't open a fucking tetrahedron cake with the correct orientation, first time, double blind test.
Knox with a piping gun trying to write congratulations on top of a Streets Vionetta. All right. You're right, though. That is a significant gaffe.
It is an enormous gaffe. There will be a second issue I have with this film later on.
Okay.
And those are my only two. Jim Carrey was fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Imagine, like, you walk out of the cinema and your, like, four-year-old kid points out the same thing to you, like, oh, my God, my kid's a fucking... This kid's a fucking nightmare.
This kid's a fucking narc. So, it's nighttime. The cakes are out. Everything's good. James Marsden's going to the Golden Gate City itself. But Sonic, he's still in Green Hills. And he's feeling a little lonely.
Did you have to stop yourself from saying Green Hill Zone?
I refuse to answer that question.
Answer the question. Did you have to stop yourself from saying Grill Greehee Zone? Because I believe what I said.
Yes. Back at the baseball diamond.
Yeah.
Playing baseball against himself.
Yes.
Nice little scene of him kind of running around, doing all the different...
Yeah.
Doing all the different...
I like that. He's fast positions. Enough that he can kind of role play with himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he keeps himself occupied.
Yeah. Not a gimmick that'll be reused... any further times in the film, Sonic doing fast
things. He talks to himself a bit.
Why does he talk to himself so much?
Because he's been alone for 10 years.
Asked and answered.
So this is the
first... Go to my website, moviegaffs.com, which is almost definitely a website.
He gets to the end of the match and he's like kind of celebrating and then he kind of catches himself and he's like, oh, this is really sad, I'm all alone.
Mm.
And this, boys, I don't mind telling
you. He literally catches himself.
Yeah.
It's baseball. Yeah. That's fucking metaphorical, dude.
Whoa.
I don't mind telling you, boys, this bit got me right in the feels. I was like...
Got me right in the outer right fields.
Nice.
Baseball joke, you very cunt. Fucking baseball joke.
Yeah, a little emotional moment.
Yeah.
Sonic is a bit sad. I was like, aw.
And he runs around that diamond with a really upset look on his face. The animation of Sonic, for being done in, allegedly being redone in like fucking 8 months or whatever, pretty good.
That's a really good point that I had not even thought of the entire time. Mm. It looks great.
Yeah.
I actually think the film in general looks pretty great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he the model of him is great, like... So much better than the original one. Mm-hmm. Goes
really lively, really well animated, very likable physically.
Yeah.
But I did keep thinking, God, I would love to see this film, the original cut.
I mean, apparently it exists.
Yeah, I would. I'm fascinated.
I kept thinking what my read on the film would be if we were watching that.
Yeah.
That original design.
Mm.
So, yeah, so this is weird. He kind of cracks the sads about being all alone.
Yeah.
And then to just vent his sadness, he just has a big old run in a circle for a bit.
It seems like he doesn't really have control over it towards the start. He just, you know, when he's worked up, he gets electric.
Yeah, that's never fully explained what that is to do with.
It's just like his speed powers
basically
make
him
electric.
Yeah.
Obviously.
They just reference him having powers.
Yeah.
And it's not it's not just being fast, I guess.
I don't believe Sonic is electric in any of the games or anything. It's just more of like it's like a lightning power that he has.
Yeah.
To the point where because he's running and angry and sad, he loses control of it. Big explosion happens. It doesn't hurt anybody, but it's a big electric explosion that knocks out all of the electricity on like the northeastern seaboard or something.
Yeah.
So
that was kind of cool, that moment. It was really loud in the cinema.
Yeah.
And, I thought it was cool. I didn't really understand why it was happening. But
I agree with you. I believed Sonic's loneliness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was like a 3 or 4 cake emotion he was feeling.
I kept thinking that, especially in this early thing with seeing him kind of flash and go all electric, I thought this was going to be a thing where at the end we would see him turn into Super Sonic, like in the video games where
right.
he'd get all the emeralds and he would turn yellow. I kind of thought this was kind of setting the scene for that, but that never happens.
You may get lucky and there'll be a sequel.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that later. I've seen absolutely no evidence whatsoever to suggest that that might be on the table.
I would need not only one indication, but two.
And a possible third that may have come up, but that we didn't stick around to find out.
Yes, that's true.
No, there's absolutely no chance.
So the lights blow up.
Yeah, and that attracts the attention of, the American government.
Yeah.
A bunch of 4-star generals.
This was a great scene.
I actually did like this scene.
Yeah, I loved this a lot.
It was like a parody of this kind of scene.
Totally. Boardroom, or like, not boardroom, like a war room.
War room, yeah, yeah.
Mm. Oh, just
situation
quickly,
room.
Can we jump back a scene or two?
Yes.
One of the actual funniest things I found in the film that made me laugh the most was a 2-second shot that you see on James Marsden's TV of Leslie Nielsen.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Rest in peace.
Sonic's like looking in through the window of this family as they're watching movies and they watch Speed and I think Naked Gun 2.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Great double feature though. Can't fault them for that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
After a long day of copping and vetting, what do you want to sit down and watch?
Well, you'll probably want to watch a cop movie like Naked Gun.
Yeah.
Well, you'll probably want to watch a veterinarian movie like Speed.
So I just had to point. Had to go back to that because that truly was just remembering all the great times Leslie Nielsen gave us.
Just genuinely his smiling face on the television.
Yeah, it was nice. It was my first laugh of the movie. I think
I genuinely laughed almost every time anyone said Sonic.
Yeah,
it really kept making me laugh for some reason.
Also, we weirdly had been talking about Naked Gun this afternoon.
Yeah.
Maybe on a... Was it on the Patreon? Anyway, we'll
talking
about
it. Was.
So
yeah, it
was. Maybe you have the power to influence movies.
Damn.
What are you, a producer?
What are you, market pressure? Boiling down onto a movie and making their animation team crunch for months, effectively.
These generals, there's a lot of dancing around. Just one of those great things in a movie where it's like... Especially in adaptation, it's like, cunt, we know what name you're going to say. Yeah. Just fucking it. You can't mean.
you can't possibly mean.
And one of those things where it's like you could easily have had two people play out this scene. You could have had a general and one other advisor and saved a lot of money on extra actors.
Mm-hmm.
But they have like 11 people sitting at this table all throwing their little 2 cents in.
Yeah.
At the very end of that scene, I noticed one guy on the table who hadn't said a line in the entire scene smiling at the camera. As they're after they've revealed it's going to be
the ghost of Leslie Nielsen sitting in that room.
Just this cheeky little guy like Jim Carrey's about to appear.
Yeah, they need a smart guy, but also a crazy smart guy.
Yes.
And they go to the smartest man in the world, Jim Dr. Robotnik Carrey.
Well, his drone technology is impeccable.
Yeah.
That's the big thing that we hear about him.
Yes.
Oh, that's something I wanted to bring up as well. Sorry to go back a scene again, Ben. Yeah.
I make a weird noise when I scroll through Wikipedia.
This is the first occasion of this happening in the movie, but the husband, James Marsden, and the wife, I don't know the actor's name, they are talking about how they're going to move to San Francisco, and he looks at the computer and says, "What's that you got on the computer?" She says, "Oh, that? I was just looking up properties on
Zillow.com.
Zillow.com.
Yes.
And like James Marsden almost looks in the camera and goes, "What, that fast, easy and affordable, cheap option that's a convenient
I'm very glad you brought this up. Yeah. It's
absurd.
Disgusting, yeah.
We'll do it all here because they do it with Olive Garden massively.
Multiple times.
It is a huge, and like not even funny.
Yeah.
They go like, "Wow, the endless pasta bowls at Olive Garden sure are good." It's insane.
Well, he's on the phone to her at one point and he goes, "Oh, something about Olive Garden." And she goes, "Oh, yeah, because when you're there," and she goes, "Yeah, your family."
Yeah.
And it's like, they've delivered it like it's a joke.
Yeah.
But it's like, that's just literally the catchphrase of Olive Garden. Yes. That's just the slogan.
It's crazy.
It's very.
You got to pay for all that reanimating somehow, I guess.
Well, and at the end of the day, we are essentially watching an hour and a half long ad for a video game franchise.
That's true. This movie started with Sega. So I suppose everything's an ad these days in our commercial world.
Yeah, but you're
Patreon.com/filthycasualspod
Yeah, I think so. Pod.
Something like that.
It's very gratuitous in this movie.
It's crazy.
Mm. Yeah.
Anyway, I forget where we were. Sorry.
Jim Carrey rolls up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Literally rolls up in his big ass truck.
Yes. We also had watched an Amazon ad before the movie, and when he arrives and they note the drone stuff, I was like, "Oh, is he like? Is this like a Bezos reference parody?" And then Sonic references Amazon later, so I don't know if it's
the whole thing. Kind of is where like the fight is Sonic is human and represents humans and fighting for your friends and doing the work yourself, and Robotnik represents like commercial interests over anything else.
Well, so the
self-professed geniuses automating the workforce.
Exactly. His first scene, he walks up to an actor who I recognize, this guy Neil McDonough. He's been in like, he's in Band of Brothers.
Yeah, right.
He's in a bunch of stuff. He's, you know, he's a good actor.
Piercing blue eyes.
Yes. Yeah. Blonde blue eyes. Fuck, what else is he? He's like a soldier in a lot of things.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He's having a little chat to Jim Carrey, who's immediately like, "I'm the boss here. Shut up. I'm going to automate all soldiers. The workforce is completely automated."
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah. This is an extremely obvious reference to Amazon, I guess.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know. I think it's kind of nice to throw that stuff in there to a kids movie.
I was surprised that it was in there.
And it's not, as much as they directly say it, it's not super on the nose or whatever. It's not like annoying.
No, it's better than some bad satire I've seen in purposefully satirical movies recently. It's like, that's a good point to make to kids.
I did like about the Robotnik character too, because he shows up here and he starts being super Robotnik-y.
Very.
Like a Smithers sidekick.
Yeah, he does, yes.
And he, I did like about his character the whole trait of him being this, "I'm the smartest, I'm a genius, really up himself dude who is not as good as he thinks," and but that type of character of like smarmy, entitled, like "I deserve everything,"
yes,
type of guy.
Yeah,
I thought was nice in this movie.
I think that character is good. I think it's an interesting, good villain for a movie.
I do. It's weird the few times when Jim Carrey completely snaps out of it and just does some Jim Carrey shit.
Yeah,
and it's nice to see some Jim Carrey shit up on the big screen again.
It's a treat.
But don't let it fool you into thinking that he was doing his job.
Don't let that affect the purity
the
of
dignity.
This film where people don't know which cake is which.
If you can't fully portray a character named Dr. Robotnik.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
So then what's the next scene? So we see him, he takes control of the this, what is it, like a little kind of fort thing they've got set up? Like
all the tents, like an operation thing they've got going at the baseball diamond. They're trying to figure out who caused the blue thing.
Yes.
And so it's at this point that
Sonic's hiding out in the forest and the drones start to get near him.
Yeah. That's right.
And he's like, what do I do? And then he goes to his cave.
Exactly.
And he's packing his shit and he's going to leave Earth entirely.
Yep.
And
he's
then
running around going like, I'll take this half-eaten cantaloupe, only the stuff I need. Mm-hmm. Sonic's not funny in this movie at any point.
I completely agree.
At all.
Sonic is never funny in this movie whatsoever. And he says what are supposed to be about 200 jokes.
He has the most flat-out jokes.
Because
even Jim Carrey doesn't really have jokes. He's got lines that he delivers funnily.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Sonic has full-on jokes that he's meant to be delivering and they don't really land ever.
And there's a lot of like him make classic kind of like, I think it's like DreamWorks.
I was sitting next to an 8-year-old for this movie. It just struck me how ridiculous it is that we're doing this.
quips that are delivered while you can't see him.
Yeah.
Which clearly you can tell Ben Schwartz and let's say a writer sitting there just like, you know, churning him out. And none of them are close to being any good.
Yeah.
No. Ben Schwartz is a funny guy.
Yeah. I mean,
well, he's an improviser. He's a trained improviser.
He's
a,
I think
not
he's
a
more a replacement bust improviser. You fucking think about that joke for a bit. You said trained. What's worse than a train? A replacement bust.
Yeah.
The Sonic of the group.
Yeah.
Me.
I thought you meant replacement bust as in like chest.
Well, that's fucking insane.
That's Sonic-esque for sure.
Anyway,
so yeah, he's gonna go.
Nothing that he says is in any way funny, charming, endearing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the character of him, the delivery is just a like I was starting to try to think like who would have made it better?
Right.
Like who would have if you just accept that the jokes aren't probably gonna be the jokes can't the script can't change.
Okay, sure.
Whose delivery would be a little less grating?
There was a trailer for some movie before this one with Tom Holland being the young lead.
Yes.
Tom Holland would have done it.
Yes. Young, endearing guy.
Exactly. Because you don't need him to be the snarky kind of like...
This is not Ryan Reynolds in Detective Pikachu.
Totally.
Character.
And it's not the attitude Sonic, because Sonic doesn't really have attitude in this movie.
Yes.
He flosses twice and that's as attitude-y as he gets. Mm. And he's a little mean to Robotnik sometimes.
He should be meaner, though.
Exactly. He doesn't really have heaps of that 90s tood
in
this movie at all. So
call.
Give him a Tom Holland for this script.
Yeah.
And if you're going to chew him up, maybe get like a... I don't know. Like a Bieber? How can he act? Ooh. Try it.
Is there a Zac Efron now who is young, who's like age appropriate?
That was my problem, is I couldn't really think of any younger sort of like teen heartthrobs.
Well, if it doesn't have to be like a celeb doing the voice, I was trying to think like who sounds kind of similar-ish voice tone wise. Just one of the greats, Billy West, like an actual voice actor, the guy who does like Fry on Futurama and did Ren and Stimpy back in the day.
Yeah,
you know, him doing an actual voice actor performance of this would have been. Could have been really good.
You know what you do? You get the STEM files from the original Dreamcast versions of Sonic Adventure and Sonic Adventure 2, and you work around the dialogue you have from Sonic in those games.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what the movie should have been.
Yeah, you are right.
I kind of do prefer the general vibe of direction that they're going in with that voice.
Yeah.
I prefer kind of like cartoony voiced Sonic over like, like the... The video games now, they have him sound like a cool teen.
Yeah.
And that feels weird.
And in those cartoons that he used to be in, that used to be about Sonic.
He used to star in those cartoons when,
But they were more like, hey, whoa, I'm Sonic, man, hey.
Mm. Well, Steve Urkel did the voice of him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in the old...
Because Ben Schwartz isn't quite going that far with the like, whoa, Sonic. But it's like kind of in that... It's like a weird middle ground between cartoon and dude. cartooned. Yeah, and yeah. I don't like
it's
it.
Very cartooned.
Attitude. Don't just let it sit there for ages or it makes it seem worse.
You're talking about my car? It's out of tune?
Exactly. There you go.
Yeah, so just every time he speaks is something just
agreed.
Awful.
Yep, completely agree.
He's fully prepared to leave Earth at this point. He's about to throw a ring, go to the mushroom planet, but he can't quite do it.
Yeah, the drones are right there. They're going to see or catch him if it happens. It doesn't really make
sense. He needs to go somewhere safer than this confusing hidden forest where he's lived without being noticed for years.
Yep.
And that place is the shed. I mean, I guess, you know, if you wanted to give it credit, emotionally he wants to see this family one more time who he's come to like and spend his time with. He goes and he decides to do the ring thing from in James Marsden's shed.
Yep.
At this point, the wife has gone, I think Maddie is her name in the movie, something like that.
Yeah,
she is in San Francisco.
Yes.
Already. She's flown there. Her sister lives in San Francisco.
And she's looking at rental properties.
Yeah.
Yes.
Her sister, for no apparent reason,
yes,
fucking hates James Marsden.
Yes.
And he seems like the nicest man in the world.
Small town cop. Upstanding, sweet guy.
Literally, there's a shot in this movie of him helping ducks and ducklings cross the road.
Every character, every previous character has been shown to love him.
Including the audience.
Yes.
The most important character in any film.
He's like this handsome, clean-cut, nice guy. There's literally nothing bad about him.
What people picture when they think of the good parts of Middle America.
Yeah.
He is a goddamn hero.
Yes.
And this, there's never any explanation for why she did. So she's like,
and then along
convinced
comes
that
this
she's
fucking
cheating?
Piece of work.
Yeah.
First thing she says in this movie is telling the sister to divorce this man.
Yes. This perfect man.
It's insane.
Yeah.
It's his jawline alone gets him the full 7 years before the itch comes in.
Yep.
It's funny. And because also the fact that she really hates him doesn't really factor in too much into the plot. So why is
not at all?
Here?
It doesn't make any sense. It's constantly ignored
by
even the sister's own daughter, who later on in the movie happily goes along with essentially a kidnapping of this woman.
Yep. Yep.
At which point James Marsden does start to become more and more reckless. Mm-hmm. We'll go into that as it comes. But anyway, he's on the phone to her. She's in San Francisco and he's saying, like, I think there's raccoons in the shed.
Yeah.
He goes to get her tranquilizer gun, which of course all vets have.
Sure.
She says the tranquilizer gun is for bears.
Yeah.
You know how vets operate on bears.
Sure, yeah.
So all making sense so far. Mm-hmm.
Bears that they've caught out in the wild.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're like, oh, emergency operation on this bear.
Ring, ring, hello, vet's office. You want to bring your pet bear in? Absolutely. Yeah. I'm not going to question that. I'll get out my tranquilizer gun.
Bring it in somehow and then I'll tranquilize it.
So he goes out into the shed to... His words, scare the raccoons with a gun.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Insane behavior.
Then he says,
you can see that this man is not the vet in the relationship.
He says, I want to scare them, hopefully to death. Yeah. Remember he says that?
Raccoons do not know what a gun is, James Marsden. No.
I mean, no. I take
I'm
it
with
back.
The sister
I'm,
now.
I'm
kind
of coming around to the sister's way.
Maybe he's done this before.
Yeah.
But yeah, he goes in, he hears a little smash. Sonic's standing there.
Yeah.
There's a moment of confusion.
Because Sonic's been umming and ahhing about whether or not to go to Mushroom Planet. He doesn't know. He kind of admits to himself, oh, fuck, I don't want to leave Earth.
Yes.
And then in bursts James Marsden, just as he is about to leave.
Mm.
He like revs himself up, psychs himself up to like, no, fuck, I have to do it.
Yeah.
Albie Wum told me.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gets tranked.
Yep. Yep.
And he...
He says meow first. He
says
the famous
meow. Yeah.
Meow?
Yep.
Yeah. Which got a laugh in the cinema.
A lot of things got a laugh in the cinema.
Sure.
A lot of things got a laugh in the cinema.
None of my comments that I was constantly making throughout the film.
To that eight-year-old next to you.
There's a big, long bow moment here. So James Marsden is wearing a T-shirt with San Francisco on it.
Yeah,
because
he's moving to San Francisco.
Excited about moving to San Francisco.
Whenever I'm about to do something, I wear the T-shirt of that action.
Yeah, I turned up wearing a T-shirt with the Hoyts logo on it.
I turned up with a T-shirt that said podcasting. Ben turned up with a T-shirt that said masturbate and sleep.
So Sonic gets tranquilized. The ring falls out of his hand.
So yeah, the things that are a bit iffy here.
This is an incredibly long bow.
Are that Sonic went to this guy's shed in the first place.
Yep.
Yes.
That this guy came in with a fucking tranquilizer gun.
Yep.
That both of them scream and they see each other. That makes sense.
Yep.
That Sonic is so stunned by seeing a human who he knew lived here.
Yes.
That he does not move at his supersonic speed.
Hey, he doesn't move at all.
He doesn't even slightly move to avoid this tranquilizer that gets fired into his leg.
Yep.
Yep.
James Marsden is wearing a shirt that says San Francisco.
Because, as we discussed, because he's excited about moving to San Francisco.
Yes.
Sonic was just at the point in the ring casting ceremony
where he was thinking about... Or was going to
He's seconds away.
Yeah,
just about to throw.
Point to think about where you want to go, and the ring shall open a portal there.
Yes.
Because he gets dozed immediately by the trank.
Yep.
He looks at James Marsden's shirt and says, San Francisco.
A place that he's never heard of, doesn't know what it is or where it is.
Like, there's a good chance that this bag of rings, which then falls through the portal that opens to San Francisco, had ended up at a Hard Rock Cafe.
Hey, yes. Could end up at a t-shirt factory. it would have made as much sense.
About a very lucky boy in Bangladesh.
Well, I don't know. I could relate to this. Have you guys ever, you know, you take a Valium and then you're just in your apartment, you're just confusedly reading out things that are in front of you?
You know, my
Samsung?
My girlfriend has been sick lately and she took a Valium to get to sleep with this horrible flu she had.
Mm.
And as we were going to sleep, she said, wouldn't it be great if they made a cereal that was mint slices?
That's good.
Like, I don't know if that would taste very good. She's like, the Americans do it. They got that candy cereal. All pans out if you put some milk in. And then she passed out.
That's great. Delightful.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, she'd love this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's so, got the mind of a 12-year-old and the body to match.
Oh, good lord.
Nah,
good
lord.
She's normal.
She's an adult. We've 20s. Met her. Relax. She's
grown up.
Don't worry about it. I'm just being 2 beers down.
Yeah, he's just being Sonic about it.
Yeah, I'm just having some dude.
He's just saying some bad jokes.
Oh, come on. Let's not say things that we can't take back.
So the bag of rings falls through the portal.
I just want to flag, we're 55 minutes in.
What?
We're about...
Fuck. 30% quarter of the way through the movie.
It's been almost an hour.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. All right.
Gotta go fast.
Okay, bag of rings falls through the portal.
Yeah.
Portal seals up.
Yep.
Now Sonic's fucked. Oh, yes.
So the bag of rings are on the top of a tower in San Francisco.
Yes. Yes.
So James Marsden puts him in a cage.
Yep.
Puts Sonic in a cage.
Mm-hmm.
Takes him inside. Doesn't know what inside. He is. Pokes him with a spatula.
Yeah. What's the next thing that we see? The drones closing in on James Marsden's house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sonic wakes up.
They've somehow been able to track Sonic's energy or something, I guess, to here. It's not quite clear how they find this house.
Yeah.
But they've been able to find it.
But it kind of makes sense. If you have things that can detect things, there's a fucking alien hedgehog in a house. That's not crazy that you could track that down.
That's going to come up on any sort of sensor.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you've got a sensor, that's happening.
Yeah, yeah.
So Sonic basically begs James Marsden to hide him.
Mm-hmm.
Robotnik turns up.
Oh, yeah.
Starts interrogating
James Marsden. Very surprised that he can talk, but quite quickly adjusts to this alien.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's... I always find that funny in these kinds of movies. You're seeing a previously... A life form that you had no idea even existed.
Yeah.
People just shocked for seconds. If an actual alien life form appeared in front of you, I think you might pass out.
Dr. Robotnik is the only one in this movie, not to get ahead of ourselves, who has the correct reaction to Sonic, where he screams loudly and immediately passes out.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway.
The funniest thing that happens in the entire movie... happens when Robotnik is at James Marsden's doorstep and he says something about, I was thinking up formulas when I was still drinking baby formula. And James Marsden
says... Well, you were
says,
drinking baby... Yeah,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
I was spitting out formulas while you were spitting up formula.
Yes. And James Marsden says, I was breastfed, actually. And Tim Seth Carey says, nice.
Now, huge laugh from three attendees of this session.
From two... and one of them knew he was in a movie with a whole bunch of kids who didn't get it.
I loved it.
I lost my fucking mind.
I thought it was genuinely very, very funny.
It was. He then did go on to say some other stuff.
I know. Yeah.
But it hangs there for a second.
Bringing up the fact that I was an orphan.
Yeah.
Like
it hangs there.
It hangs
Jim
there.
Jim Carrey knew.
Just yes. long enough. Yeah. For yeah. Sure. A little sauce. Something for the dads in the audience. Nice.
Yes.
So he goes in. He's looking around. Sonic's kind of dodging him for the most part.
Yep.
Then he starts threatening James Marsden is, I think, what happens.
Yes.
He's like, if you're harboring this fugitive, fuck you.
And Sonic, he says, like, oh, I'll erase your identity. You'll be dead and no one will ever know. Yeah.
So Sonic comes out and he's like, well, I'm going to try to save the... Oh, that's right, because he finds the quill. He finds Sonic's quill that had been left on the countertop.
Yeah. He's like, I know you're involved.
Yeah, I know
hog.
I'm always right.
Yeah.
I'll get you and I'll get this hog. Mm. You can't shorten hedgehog to hog. And he's like, I can. I'm the smartest man in the world. Sonic comes out. Robotnik passes out. A robot tries to kill him. Sonic beats the robot.
Yep.
They're on the lam.
Yes. Yeah, they're on the lam. Yeah. Yes. Now, the next thing that happens, they stop off to get supplies.
Mm-hmm.
Sonic sees a... this I don't know, bizarre... the fucking Hell's Angels or
God,
something?
Yeah,
there's a petrol station. It's completely quiet as they pull in and it's just a petrol station. Yeah. And like 30 seconds later, there's just a shot of the most insane bar that has ever lived with people literally just spinning motorcycles around.
Biking's just going great. And it's like great kind of like kids like PG movie representation of biking. Yeah. It's like, oh, what fun we're all having with our motorbike.
I'm drinking a pint and doing a flip.
It reminds me of, I don't know if you guys have seen From Dusk Till Dawn.
No.
But it's basically like there's a family in a camper van on a trip and they stop in at like this, like the worst looking bikey bar. It's filled with vampires. Like that's the movie.
Yeah.
It's like fucking flames spewing out. It's like, this is a demon bar with... Yeah, bikies doing PG. It was very strange.
And
very
Sonic weird. Is immediately hubba hubbering all over this bikey bar.
Yeah.
Which is the one thing. They didn't really set up Sonic being into bikers at all.
No.
If he'd have been reading biker comics, been like, I love motorbikes because they're fast or something, it would make sense that he'd really want to go in here.
Because they're not even like riding their bikes fast. They're just standing around in leather jackets.
He just wants to be social and...
Sure.
Because this is the thing, because he's realised he'll get the rings back very shortly and then he's going to be on a mushroom planet with no one.
Yeah.
So he just sees a happening bar and thinks, you know what? Last night as a free man.
Yeah.
I'm going to put on this cowboy hat and some sunglasses and no one's going to question me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Also, there's a really weird joke here because James Marsden goes to like use the payphone and his son's like, what is that?
Yeah.
And he's like, it's mainly for drug dealers.
Yes.
But I'm going to use it now.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Sonic does go in here. He calls the bag, the shitty, the dumb cop.
Yes.
And the, you know, Robotnik and shit are there.
Yep.
They figure out that he was talking to him and he's like, I'm coming after you. And he's like, yeah, well, you just try.
Mm-hmm.
They go into the biker bar. Sonic and James Marsden have a little chat about the fact that Sonic does feel as though he has so many things he didn't do on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
They talk about the concept of a bucket list. Sonic quickly writes one.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Gets a bit sad. He's like, I'm never going to do all this stuff.
Yep.
And James Marsden's like, well, we can do some of it tonight, buddy.
Yeah.
I'm going to regret this. And then they start having a very uninteresting montage.
Yes.
Of line dancing and playing fucking that basketball arcade game that for some reason is in this hellish biker bar. But he's in pristine condition.
Yeah.
Do that shit for a while.
Yep.
And then eventually, I can't remember quite how, but they get into a fight. I think the three of the
bikies... guys just come up to them.
And they
call them hipsters.
That's, yeah.
That sucks.
Very strange.
And I thought they were going to say, we don't like your kind here. We know you're a cop.
Yeah, same. But exactly, yes.
They say hipsters for some reason.
And Sonic's like, how dare... You know, he's like offended. But that, I mean, that was pretty weak.
Yeah.
Extremely weak.
Yeah. And then
and that's for no one, because none of the adults are into hipster jokes anymore, and a fucking 11-year-old doesn't know what
doesn't
a hipster is.
Absolutely.
Are,
and then the next sequence... I really didn't like, and it happens again later. It's just a straight rip-off from that X-Men movie from like 7 years ago.
It's insane.
Yeah, it's a worse song choice.
Furious.
Yes, yes.
I don't know if the people involved with this movie were in some way connected to that X-Men movie. Maybe they are. I haven't looked into it.
They also rip off the Marvel logo at the start.
Sure.
So I don't know. Yeah.
Holy fucking shit.
It's a exact rip-off.
It's insane. Have you seen that X-Men movie?
If I have, I don't remember this bit.
It's good. It's a thing I like in movies.
Sonic freezes time because he's so quick. It's not that time is frozen. He's just quick enough that that's how he sees it.
So in the X-Men movie, it's there's a guy called Quicksilver. Same thing. He's a fast guy. But the scene in that, it's like set to Time in a Bottle by Jim Croce.
Okay.
It's actually like a beautiful scene.
They're running around in both of the scenes. I'll just describe them both at the same time.
Yes.
Quicksilver slash Sonic runs around this room of people who want to hurt them and readjusts them in funny ways so that they get out of the scrape. And it kind of beat each other up or like end up with their pants around their head and stuff.
Yeah, that moment
of like, oh, time's back to normal. Everything happens at the same
time.
And
it quick cuts around all of them and it all plays out. And it's exactly the same scene.
Yeah. I don't remember that.
Unconscionable that they have done it. I would feel worse about this than even if someone stole my idea of doing cams of movies, which is just me describing the movie.
Yeah, I don't know if I haven't seen that X-Men or if I just don't remember the scene.
Right.
But either way, I don't recall.
Mate, because this is a famous scene. If you have never been on YouTube and watched this scene and then at the end that little thing comes up where it's like telling you to watch more movies. I did a bad impression of it, but you know the thing I'm talking about.
I actually have no idea.
Can't go on YouTube.
Go on YouTube for once. But yeah, it is. It's a direct ripoff.
I didn't mind. I actually didn't mind this.
That's because it's the first time you were seeing it.
Yeah.
I was like,
I loved it the first time I saw it.
Yeah, right, right. I thought, yeah, cool. I guess cool, interesting way of showing Sonic's the practical application of Sonic's speed other than just him running fast down the highway.
Yeah.
Because so
completely agree with it the first time it happened.
But also like how else do you use speed in a movie as a power?
Clearly they couldn't answer that question.
Yeah.
They did it the same way.
Cuz part of James Marsden helping Sonic to go on the lam, he kicks him out of his car before
kicks him out
of his car and goes, "Yeah, get to San Francisco." He's like, "Oh, it's west." Sonic just runs for a bit and then comes back and he's wet, like he's just hit the ocean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's evidence of why he needs John Marston to help him.
Yeah, he can run fast, but he doesn't know where to run.
But it's like, can't you know how roads work?
Yes.
I found that justification for like, no, he needs him. I was like,
yeah.
He kind of doesn't. Like, anyway.
I think he was lying though anyway. He just wanted a friend.
He wanted a friend.
Because one of his things and the main thing on this bucket list, they cross off a bunch of shit.
Yep.
But they go to a motel later. They're going to sleep. Mm-hmm. Sonic moves quick again for a bit.
Yep.
Wears a towel. Does a fart. And then as he goes to sleep, James Marsden sees one uncrossed thing on his bucket list. Make a real friend.
Yeah.
Yep. Sonic mentions when he does the fart that he had a chili dog, which is a little treat for the people who remember the Saturday morning Sonic cartoon.
Yeah.
Yeah, now, which again, the only people who that's a reference for is like us, right? In that cinema. Right. It's not mums and dads who were slightly older and didn't watch cartoons.
We did go to see this film too, though, so they hit the mark.
Yeah, yes, sure, yeah.
My problem is if you're going to include that element from the cartoons, why not, instead of having his just like Robotnik's just generic looking sidekick, bring in the robot chicken and the robot mole that were Robotnik's little henchmen in the cartoon.
I mean, you might get your wish at a later date.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll
have Sonic be in a pinball machine.
So what happens when they wake up?
Just reference everything from the Sonic canon. have Dr. Robotnik playing Tetris for some reason.
Playing Puyo Puyo, thank you. But the next morning, they're on the road again.
Yep.
They're doing this road trip.
Oh, yeah, then they get detected on the road.
Yeah. So Robotnik has figured out he's used his computers to find a footprint, and his psychic's like, wow.
Yeah, that's right.
He doesn't know what a footprint is, but Robotnik finds it, uses a bunch of tracking bullshit to figure out but based on the wind speed and blah, 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 they must be here.
Yeah.
And sends a robot car that he has exactly there somehow to go and shoot at them.
Yeah. And there's a little action sequence on the road.
Action sequence.
That was cool.
It was
Sonic
fun.
Accidentally does the spinball thing, which I quite liked.
Yes.
But he gets knocked off the car
and does it by mistake. Well. Yeah. Yeah.
In the games, you know, Robotnik's like robots and contraptions are sort of so over the top.
Mm.
And
yeah.
This plays it pretty safe. Little tank, little drone thing.
Like a Tesla.
Could have been cool
thing.
To see them have all the like arms and stuff coming. You know, they could have wilded out a bit more.
Yeah.
There is a bit where the tank like chucks some things out on the road that end up being like they take the power or like a
little explosion coasters.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
they look like mines. And there's a bit where one
that classic
kind of chase sequence trope of just cutting to a random family on a vacation.
Yeah,
and one of these little mines, and I truly thought it was a mine.
Yes,
like slips under their car, and I thought for a second, oh my God, they're just going to blow up this innocent family. Yep.
So here is my second major gripe with this movie.
Oh.
It cuts into... So, yeah, there's a camper van or whatever, like a Tarago. Like
Tarago.
Driving down the road. One of these fucking discs goes under it. It's clear something's going to happen.
Yeah.
You cut inside and there's some kids fighting over an iPad or something in the back. And the dad says, for some fucking reason, he says... Either you guys stop fighting over that thing or I'm going to take it off you. And then the car spins out wildly and the kids give him the iPad.
Yep.
Why the fuck did that dad not say, either you guys stop fighting back there
or I'm going to turn this thing around. Yes.
Because it spins around immediately after he says that shit.
And then the kid handing it back, the kid, so the dad's
the kid
saying,
hasn't, there's been no follow through of the dad's threat.
The kid hands it back like, wow, dad means business. Yeah. It's like, that's got nothing to
he
fucking
hands
do
it to
with
him
your dad.
It's like, wow, an unrelated accident.
Yeah.
Fucking insane.
God, that's a great point. I did not pick that. That's
massively pissed me off.
Yeah.
I was genuinely fuming. I punched that kid.
That would have
me.
Been a good joke.
Yeah. Yeah. That would have been. In my opinion, the joke I came up with would have been the best joke in the movie.
they probably thought, we can't have this like random dad be funnier than Sonic in the film. So
Ben Schwartz. Yeah, he put his foot down. His manager was like, no. That's not going
to
fit.
This dad has to be saying something completely separate.
Yeah, something confusing and nonsensical.
It's so fucking weird. It's so fucking weird that they literally do the joke with completely different words that make it meaningless.
Yeah. So then Sonic gets injured in this chase.
Yeah.
But they get away still?
It's the bomb.
Oh, yeah. They break down the robot that's following them.
Keeps
bit
going
by
smaller
bit,
and smaller pieces.
Until it's like a tiny bomb, like the size of a ping pong ball. The bomb explodes. Sonic gets knocked out. And James Marsden's like, better take him to a vet nearby.
Now, does he know a vet?
Well, I didn't think he did.
Ben's like,
maybe your soldier wife knows someone who was a medic in the military.
Yeah.
Just imagining Ben just sweating bullets like, how the fuck are they going to get
He's
out
He's not going to make it.
they go to his hot vet wife.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
And her annoying sister.
Who, as soon as he shows up, he's got like Sonic under a rug. She's like, no, you're not coming to my house. Nope, fuck off immediately.
Well, at this like, point...
As he gets there... Oh, yeah, he's a terrorist.
He's been on TV.
Like a terrorist.
Yeah.
That's true,
fair enough. Because to start with, I kind of forgot that too. I was
fake
like,
news,
wow,
fake
she's
news.
Really going hard on him.
She says something at one point that's something to do with Trump. I forget what it was.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
I don't know how much genuine commentary is in this movie or not.
Zero. It feels like a script that's been washed and washed and washed and washed and rewritten and rewritten, as all of these movies sort of do.
But he is a terrorist. He's been painted as a terrorist on the news by the government. He's not. He's a good guy. The dog barks, pulls the thing off. Sonic's there. Everyone freaks out.
Yeah, they're like, "What the fuck kind of cat is that?" And Sonic's like, "A meow."
No, he's unconscious.
Oh yeah. So. The sister is like furious about this hedgehog being here. She doesn't want the husband being here either.
Mm-hmm.
So played as a joke in the film, and she doesn't really seem to mind that much. They fully tie her up.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
Yeah.
It is weird.
Yeah.
Yep.
Anyway. I don't know why they needed to do that. They could have just ignored her like they did with every other thing she said.
Or maybe she could have come around. It might have been nice for her to be like, hey, look, I like this hedgehog now at some point. I don't know. But anyway, she's tied up. The daughter's fucking fine with all of this.
Yeah.
She's weird. She always gets Sonic some shoes after he wakes up.
His famous red and white shoes.
Yeah, which they have not really... I mean, you can see it, obviously. Mm. They haven't really made too much of a deal out of the fact that Sonic's wearing these, like, busted up. Like, he's wearing unmatched, like, mismatched sneakers. They're all... Like, I think tape is around one of them.
Yeah.
They've got
holes
in the
bottoms. No point where
stuff.
It's like, God, I need new... And the shoes don't benefit him in any way other than just like here he's wearing kind of shoes that sort of look like the shoes that he has in the game in the sense that they're red.
It's kind of nice because like the little girl is like, oh, he needs new shoes.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's kind of nothingy.
Yeah. I did like it. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. The wife and the husband have a talk and she's like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
I liked them and their chemistry. I liked the wife. Yep. I liked all of that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I think I did
James
too.
James Marsden.
Yeah. James Marsden was surprisingly good.
Yeah, he carried it.
Yeah.
The one problem I have with all of them is there's a number of scenes where you can really fucking feel the green screen. They are absolutely staring into the middle distance and going like, ha ha ha, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like, I mean, that's
doing an imagined response.
I thought good performances even, remembering that. Like, it's got to be tough.
Yes,
absolutely.
Just staring at nothing.
And it's more, I guess, a problem with where everything's placed in that set.
Mm.
That makes the eye lines feel a bit weird and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But anyway, he catches her up to speed.
Yeah.
Like, we got to get him home. He's an alien.
She fixes him.
Yeah.
At the same time as this, I believe, Jim Carrey has a musical montage.
Yeah.
Mm. Where he unlocks the power of the Quill.
Yeah.
And super speed. And I really liked that sequence.
So this is the one bit that I thought was too much Jim Carrey injected
right
in. Because he's doing all this weird dancing and all this stuff that is nothing like the character he was doing on either side of this scene.
I don't know why,
but this is a private moment where he's allowed to really be himself.
He's in the lab. This is how he does his thing.
Maybe I'm being too harsh on it, because Jim Carrey comes back to the big screen. You want Jim Carrey back on the big screen.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of get it, but I don't know, it didn't hit it for me.
I thought the movie was fine. I really, really liked this sequence. I'd never heard that song before.
I thought it was cool.
I thought it was well directed. I liked the lighting in it. Mm-hmm. I just really liked it.
I don't know why he's just standing there doing weird VR experiences while he's waiting for his thing to load, but, you know.
Yeah.
Good for him.
It worked for me. It was fun.
Sure.
Good for him.
Well, it's funny because he's like pretends that there's a dinosaur on the screen and he pretends that it's bitten his head off.
Yeah.
It is weird that he's doing a visual gag for an audience
exactly.
of zero.
It's just literally old Jim Carrey stand-up.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, not literally. He didn't do exactly that joke.
Yeah,
when
he used to have that dinosaur
that VR joke.
Behind him at the Comedy Store in 1981.
But he's like looking for Sonic a bit, and he's like doing some testing on the Quill, like you said.
Yeah, yeah.
Figuring out how to utilize Sonic's power.
Yeah.
His assistant comes in, and I did think it was kind of funny. He was like, "Pin yourself against the wall," and the guy just put his hand on his own throat and pushed himself back.
Yeah.
And then he says he loves the machines.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to get that hedgehog.
Yep.
And then they get to the building in San Francisco, right?
They sneak Sonic inside a gym bag. And this annoyed me. Sonic just talking immediately.
Yeah.
He knows what the stakes are.
Yeah.
He knows what's going on.
And this is where Jim Masters, we're friends now, starts
Jim
being
Masters.
A really bad cop.
Right.
And he does that for a fair bit towards the end of this movie.
Yeah.
He's like, don't abuse my power. And he pretends there's a suicide about to happen, which, fair enough. You can understand why he did that. Not that big of a deal.
Sure.
Later on, there's a worse thing.
Well, even going back when the bar fight is just starting to kick off.
Right.
He's just right in there.
He's throwing punches left and right.
He just starts throwing haymakers.
True. He's fully fighting. He went in their house. One of the first things he does when he meets Dr. Robotnik is punch him.
Yeah.
Square in the jaw.
Yeah. Well, he's a small town cop. That's how you solve problems around there.
I guess so.
Yeah.
So,
he's not fit to be a big city cop.
No.
He's genuinely.
Well, and so they have Sonic in that bag, and there's the two other people, and you're like.
This was in the first trailer, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He somehow awkwardly says that his kid's in the bag, but it's not his kid, but it is a child. And it makes no sense how he backed himself into that
corner.
He
phrases that exactly that way.
It's That's really what he weird.
Says. Yeah.
And the people he said that to kind of back away like, orkies,
rather
than just immediately restraining this man and
calling
opening
the bag.
Yeah,
getting the child out.
It makes zero sense and does not land as a joke. Yeah.
There was a joke in the trailer or something that's been changed in the film. This Sonic's comment about the smell that's in the bag. I remember that either being in the trailer or like a breakdown that we read of a preview that people had seen of it at a Comic-Con or something.
It was in the trailer.
Is it an old ham sandwich and off Doritos? It was like
That's
something
right.
bizarre like that.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. What is this, an Olive Garden? Because it smells fantastic in here. they get to the top of the building. They find the rings. They're like, oh shit, we're done.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, we actually have had some closure. Nice little character arc. Yeah. We're all in a better place than we were. And it was nice to meet you.
James Marsden and Sonic, okay, we're friends. But you know what? We got to go our separate ways. And we get it. We're being boys. We're pretending we don't have feelings. And then Dr. Robotnik shows up.
Yep.
He's wearing the red suit.
Yes.
He's in a flying gadget.
Yep.
He's got a whole bunch of his little robots. And then Sonic says those three beautiful words. Hello, Mr. Eggman.
And
way that they call him, hello, Mr. Eggman is one word.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, Eggman.
I didn't know that.
The way that they justify him being called Eggman is because his little robots, the drones, look a bit like eggs.
Kind of.
It's enough for me.
Okay.
They got it in there. They called him Eggman.
Yeah.
10 out of 10.
Right. And then Sonic leads him on a merry chase around the world.
Yeah.
He does. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
I did like that. He pushes the parents off of, like, you know, James Marsden and wife. Yes. Which I remember. I think it's Maddie.
I believe it is Maddie. Name. Yeah.
Pushes him off the
roof. I could just look down at it. It's Maddie.
Because he's going to, like, throw a ring under them. But he's being so overconfident because he's like, I'm the only fast one in the world. I've got time to beat these missiles like drums that are being fired at us by Eggman.
Mm-hmm.
I got time to do all of this. But Eggman's got the little blue fucking quill.
Yeah.
Yep.
And his ship starts moving fast.
Yes.
So, yeah, he manages to throw a ring under the two of them. They end up in a barn back in Green Hills.
Yes, that's right.
And then they do go on, like, he runs along the Great Wall.
Yes.
Yep.
Using these rings as portals.
Mm-hmm.
Goes into Egypt for a bit.
He's in Paris, France.
Yep.
Yes.
A mime dodges him.
That's right.
They go to Egypt where the pyramids are apparently in the middle of this fucking desert rather than like
next to
bang in the
Jacks.
Center of Cairo. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Egypt seems like a weird place to go to where it's like you're being chased. You would think you need stuff to kind of hide behind and dodge around.
Yeah.
Why not just go into a big old open patch of sand where there's nowhere for you to hide?
Yeah.
I was trying to think if these are maybe levels from Sonic games.
Oh, that's what I thought at the time, but I don't remember an Egypt one.
I certainly don't remember a Great Wall of China, but it does make sense when he's like, I can really open up here and you know, you'd want to run along it if you were Sonic.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, they do that for a bit. It all kind of ends up amounting to nothing because they end up in Green Hills.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Eggman kind of gets the better of Sonic at some point. Sonic last second throws a ring, and I guess he was thinking of Green Hills because it's his home. So they end up there.
Yeah.
James Marsden and Maddie have managed to find the exact part of this town. I guess it's a small town. That's fine. It's on Main Street.
It's Main Street, yeah.
Robotnik... is
Robotnik
about to he's like got the upper hand here.
Yeah.
Sonic's fucked up from this thing. He's like almost dead on the ground.
Yeah,
everyone thinks he's dead.
Yeah, yes, that's right. That cuz so weirdly before we went and saw this movie, Tommy, you mentioned that one of our friends had successfully conned one of their friends into thinking that Sonic dies in this movie.
20 minutes in.
Yes.
And you know what, to be fair, it's funny watching it thinking that knowing that because there are multiple points where you think Sonic is dead in the film.
Sure.
And
the whole town has kind of come out. It's nighttime, but a bunch of the townspeople are here watching this shit.
Yep.
Robotnik's yelling at Sonic for a bit, and then the townspeople are like, hey, you leave this hedgehog who I guess was the blue devil who this guy was talking about. We're all pretty suddenly okay with.
Mm.
You leave him alone because I guess he's one of us.
Yep.
Pretty weird.
Yeah.
But whatever. One guy has a chainsaw.
Yep.
And then Sonic goes blue. Well, he's already blue, but, you know, he does the lightning again because James Marsden says, hey, that's my friend or something.
Yes, that
brought
wakes him
up. Brought back to life by the power of friendship.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That's fucking Pokemon the movie shit, dude. That's so cool. Sonic, like, is about to beat the shit out of Eggman. Everyone can tell.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And James Marsden's like, you fucking do it, Sonic. And this is a bit where he's a really bad cop because he gets behind him with a ring. Throws another ring behind Robotnik to go to the Mushroom World.
Yeah.
Which makes no fucking sense, because why does James Marsden know about the Mushroom World?
Yeah. Sonic's told him about it.
Has he? I guess so.
Yeah, he does. Like, when he's first in the car, he's like, oh, I have to get to Mushroom World. And he's like, right,
yes, you're
Mushroom
right, he does.
World.
Well, James Marsden imagines the correct Mushroom World.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And throws an open portal behind this human being who is a government employee.
Yeah.
Have your disagreements if you must. But James Marsden, the police officer, is taking the law into his own hands right here.
So what I forgot about Mushroom Land, or I didn't assume they were going to do that.
Right.
Because like Sonic says something like, get off this planet.
Right.
I think that he's just going to shoot him into space initially. Like he's going to be floating out there like Dr. Evil and the Big Boy just like floating around. I'm like, you're going to fucking murder this guy.
Yeah. Well, they got the rings. I do like how they use the rings in the movie.
Yeah.
And make them like an actual thing that exists. And there's a number of times when the rings fall and make the noise, but it's for real reasons.
Yeah. And at the end of each Sonic level, there is the ring portal. So it's like, hey, it makes sense.
True.
Yeah.
So Sonic fucking beats Eggman threw into the portal.
I also liked how he beat him, which is by jumping into his robot machine, which again is from the games.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a couple of little, I mean, Easter eggy things, like when Sonic's fallen off the building in San Francisco and he hits the ground and all the rings are kind of scattered around him.
Yes.
Kind of happens when you die. So when they're talking to the crazy guy in town who has, you know, is like, has seen Sonic and no one believes him, and he's got his little drawing that he's done of Sonic.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a meme on the internet of a bad child's drawing of Sonic.
That's
and
Sonic.
Was this meant to deliberately look like that?
Yeah. It is that.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's quite funny. Yeah. So, yeah, kicks Robotnik into the mushroom.
Enormous
planet.
Like, I don't know if miscarriage of justice is the right term, but police overreach at the very least.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What is that called? Excessive force.
Extremely excessive.
Yeah.
The same with the sister, who they realize at this point, oh shit, she's still tied up in San Francisco.
Yes.
And I think they cut to her, and the little girl is running around saying, gotta go fast. Mm-hmm. Which Sonic does also say, gotta go fast, at one point in the movie when he wakes up from the smelling salts.
Yes, that's right.
In the van.
Yep.
So Robotnik's gone. Day saved.
Gone. Yep. Happy ending.
Yep.
We jump ahead a little bit.
Yep.
Sonic's now living with the couple.
The couple has decided to stay in Green Hills.
Yes.
They decide that after the fight. He's like, look, I did the big cop thing. I think I just want to stay here and have a good time with the people I care about.
Which, fair enough. You went through insane thing.
You know what? The message of that movie is, hey, you might have big dreams, but maybe they aren't all they're cracked up to be. And maybe don't follow them to the exclusion of all other things in your life. Because you may end up regretting it one day and not be able to get that time back.
Yeah.
Good thing to teach to a kid early on, I reckon.
I think so.
Yeah.
Anyway,
honestly, not a lesson I've seen in another movie.
No, it's a good fucking lesson.
Yeah.
The government guy, the other big lots of badges military guy shows up to their house and he's like, hey, thanks for doing everything you did and keeping your mouth shut about all this. We understand that, you know, ain't nothing on the happen, but under the table, here's this wonderful present. And they're like, oh, what is it? Well, wouldn't you know, it's the best possible present you could receive.
A $50 gift voucher. For Olive Garden.
I was going to say co-advertising rights.
If this hadn't been such a gross on-the-nose product placement, that kind of could have been a funny joke.
Maybe.
That's something like, thanks for helping us do this cover-up and then a government official giving you a gift card.
I think
that could be kind of funny.
Yeah.
Even if they hadn't mentioned Olive Garden once already in the movie, that might have been enough
to make it
happen.
Yeah.
But boy...
Yep.
Yeah.
It's it's great.
He gets
even
the Olive
if it wasn't
voucher.
The product placement stuff, it's still just a clunky callback.
Yeah.
And then they don't make a joke about it. They just end up going like, I hear the endless pasta bowls, they're actually really good.
Yeah.
It's fucking really weird.
It's awful. It's bizarre.
It's good that we don't have Olive Garden in Australia, though.
Yeah.
It does make it. If they were doing La Porchetta, maybe that would have been funnier, actually. So
Here's this gift voucher for La Porchetta.
Located at 21 Sydney Road.
So then there's Sonic is...
Sonic jumps up from behind the couch. He's like, I'm living here. Because the government guy is like, you haven't seen our blue friend, have you? And they're like, no. Doing the worst lying in the world.
And they're saying, you got to go home. You got to go back to the cave. Yeah. Turns out they've transported everything from the cave into their...
into their attic.
Into their attic.
Yes.
How they did this without Sonic realizing, who's to say?
Mm.
How they... knew where the cave was. I guess he must have told them at some point.
Sure, yeah, they've probably gone and visited him there once
or
twice.
But how could they possibly move faster than Sonic?
So he's very touched by that. He lives with them now.
I was touched by it. It's quite nice.
Yeah, nice little ending.
Little adoptive family.
Yeah. Nice little ending.
Zoom out through the window.
Yep.
Through the, well, he's got like a skylight.
Yeah, the spinning round skylight.
Keep going out. Lovely ending. Mm-hmm. Everyone's happy.
Yep.
Except for evil Dr. Robotnik.
Yeah. This was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what's weird? This was in the trailer.
Yeah.
Yes.
The reveal of him bald with the big... That I found that very funny that that's like meant to be a big... Oh, he looks like the video game now. And they just like... Because I kind of had assumed, oh, this must happen like relatively early on in the film.
I thought it was like would have been 3/4 in just before the final fight.
Yeah.
Right.
But no, it's like...
It's from the post-credit sequence.
It's kind of meant to be a twist.
Well, it's like there's... Boom, Sonic the Hedgehog, and then it goes straight into this. Yeah. So does like an end title, then straight into this.
Yes.
Because right. he's like...
He's on the mushroom land.
It makes sense that he's cut his hair off and his mustache is huge.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
He's gone crazy on mushroom land.
Yeah, he's stranded. He's like a Robin Crusoe guy. Like all his facial hair has grown out. He's shaving his head.
Yeah. He's gone way crazier.
He is very crazy, yeah.
I like this Dr. Robotnik. I want to see this one in a sequel.
Mm-hmm. Same. So really, setting, as far as I'm concerned, I don't need any more evidence that they're thinking of a sequel to this.
Yeah.
So to your mind, Sonic the Hedgehog 2, locked and loaded.
Definitely.
Yeah. It's a sure thing that they have given you enough information contained in this one film to prove to you that their intention is to make Sonic the Hedgehog
2. Beyond the
Sonic,
shadow of a doubt.
Sonic 2, Robotnik's Revenge. It's all right there.
So if there were to be any more evidence, it would be completely perfunctory to you. It would be excessive.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
Do you think you'd
maybe... Unnecessary?
Do you think you'd even appreciate a little more for daddy?
I mean, look, I've sat through this with my young son. It's time for a little something for daddy.
Yes.
I mean, if daddy's going to sit and watch the whole animated credits, which are done in the 16-bit style and redoing the movie.
Mm. Not bad. I didn't mind that.
Yeah, I like that.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
But daddy deserves a little extra at the end of that, right?
Yeah.
Well, daddy was pretty close to getting up and leaving because as soon as those 16-bit credits started, the lights came on immediately.
Yeah.
You know how much I love... Oh, yeah, they flashed on.
They really did.
Just boom. Not even a fade up, just a gunk. Yeah. Someone flipped on a light switch.
Yeah.
But you said you're about to leave and, daddy, leave that ass where it is.
Okay.
As but much daddy's as I like to hurts. See it.
Tails jumps out of a portal.
Yep.
Yep.
And he's like, according to my fucking little watch thing, Sonic must be this way.
Which... There was no mention of Tails previously. There was no other... Like, we didn't see anyone else.
He didn't give you the whole story of his life back on Green Hill Zone.
That's true.
Or he could have just grown up in the shadow of Sonic.
Maybe.
Okay. He probably
he could have been
is younger
by
than
someone
Sonic.
Else. He doesn't necessarily know Sonic.
Yeah. Right, okay, sure.
That's true. He's just from Mobius, Sonic's planet.
Yeah, they just know Sonic was kidnapped when he was... Oh, he disappeared when he was a child. Yeah.
He just heard the legend of Sonic.
Mm. Yeah, true.
So I think now...
The legend of Sonic is my favorite ROM hack.
And then he gets up, he jumps up and flies away with his tails, which is very cool.
Two things. If a Sonic sequel doesn't happen, that's going to be the funniest thing of all time.
Yeah.
Two cracks at leaving the door wide open.
Yeah.
Never followed up
possibly
on.
Possibly a third. Amazing. We left before the credits were fully, fully done.
Yes, true.
The other thing I cannot stop thinking about. So, Tails in this looks like he looks in the games. Sonic looks like he looks in the games, but only after a very famous redesign. So some do you think somewhere out there
original Tails
is a cut out there? What did the fucking original Tails look like?
I reckon he didn't even. He had like a thin monkey like tail of two of them that spun around really aggressively.
Oh
really
god,
scary looking.
You know what it probably looked like? Hang on, let me try.
I reckon his face looks like that fucked up taxidermy fox.
That's what I'm trying to find. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
That's what I'm picturing.
Damn.
Oh, that's good shit.
That's pretty cool. And then is Sonic 3 when we get Knuckles? No, Sonic 3 has Knuckles in it, but then there's and Knuckles versions of Sonic 1 and 2 where they just edit Knuckles into all the scenes. He's like, yeah, man, get out of this bar.
Yes. Great.
Yes.
That is truly exciting stuff. You know, because the big theory has been that the conspiracy theory that this was all publicity, the redesign If they release a cut of this on as an official bonus feature on the Blu-ray,
or even
or
if
the
some
DVD,
benevolent animator leaks it,
yeah.
If that's like, hey, look,
the whole movie,
people didn't, you know, whatever, people didn't like this film in the cinema, but now that it's out on Blu-ray, it's got the entire cut before we edited it. Then I would be forced to go. That's the conspiracy theory confirmed.
I think it's doing kind of well though.
Is it?
Movie in the cinemas. Yeah, I think
it's getting reviewed relatively well as well.
It's
good.
I would recommend, I would say if you're a 30 plus year old man going to see it with another group of 30 plus year old men, look, it's not the best movie in the world. You'll have a bit of fun for the nostalgia and whatever.
Yeah.
But it's not good.
Yeah, I could see if we weren't doing this podcast and we went to see this, I could see us maybe walking out towards the end or being like, ah, that was kind of boring. Let's go do something else.
Yeah. Yeah. I would have felt a lot sillier.
Yes.
Right.
As well.
Yeah.
It's funny that this has come out. It's such a child's movie and it's come out. Well, no, I think even in the States it's the same. It's come out right as school has gone back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Valentine's Day, though, get the kids out of the house. Tie your sister up.
Valentine's Day as well. Yeah.
If you do have kids of pretty much any age, I'd say.
Yeah.
I think there was enough movement and sound to keep any kid interested.
I mean, we can testify to this. There were a bunch of families and kids there. They all seemed to really enjoy it.
There wasn't fucking rustling around and kids getting bored and whatever.
Yeah.
There were young kids there who were all entertained. Take your kids to see it for sure.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, that's it. That's our full review of the Sonic the Hedgehog movie.
One of our longest episodes. literally 1 hour, 33 minutes.
Wow.
That's fucking ridiculous. That's the same as like the Game of the Year ones.
Yeah.
That's the length of the film.
Damn.
Fuck.
This is what used to happen with our Game of Thrones one, where we would do episodes that were longer than the actual episode of the show.
Yeah. Well, it's a rich piece of content that needs to be analysed scene by scene.
And we kind of rushed towards the back end.
We did,
Honestly, when you said it had been 55, I could have sworn that it had been like 18 minutes.
Yeah. If we weren't doing this like relatively late-ish at night, I would have been happy to just roll through to a good 2.5 hours.
Yeah. Sure.
We easily could have.
Yeah.
Sorry, everyone.
Well, thanks for listening.
Yeah.
I hope you enjoyed it. Let us know on the Facebook and what have you if there's anything that you think we missed.
Yep.
Maybe there were some little Easter eggs. What did you think of the film? Let us know.
Mm.
You can find our social media links and what have you on filthycasuals.com.au.
Yeah.
You can also subscribe to us on Patreon. Get a bonus episode every week where we do something a bit different from this show and talk about movies. Thanks very much for listening, guys.
Also, we should say we're probably going to put up we have already put up on our Patreon page.
Yep.
We've like taken one of the episodes that we've done recently and put it up there for free for everyone.
Yep.
So if you've heard about the Patreon but didn't know what it was and you want to get an idea of it, one of the episodes is up there now for free.
Yes. Yep.
Patreon.com/filthycasualspod. Yep.
The link to that also is on our actual website.
Cool.
The episode
social media and stuff probably.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. We've tweeted about it. It's the first in our Decade in Review series. So we talk about 2010, movies, music, TV shows, what we're doing in our lives. And that's about an hour long. And yeah, we've done another 7 of those.
Yeah.
It was an ep that we thought was just going to be about the decade as a whole.
Yes.
And then we spent so long just talking about 2010 that we were like, okay, each year has to be its own.
Yeah. And it's got sound drops and music and stuff in it. And there have been very, very fun to do.
Yeah.
And outside of that, we just do
we do this
movies and talk about music and talk about other stuff. It's this same podcast, but not about video games.
Yeah,
essentially.
Yeah.
So if you want to have a look at that, patreon.com/filthycasualspod.
Yeah.
Thanks very much for listening. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
Exterior, cliffside, day. A portal opens up. A figure slowly walks through. It's the fourth member of the Filthy Casuals podcast. Miles Tails Prower. Fade to black. Cut to black. Don't fade. Cut dramatically to black. Now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.